In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The truth shall make you free, declared our Lord Jesus Christ. In the 8th chapter of John, Christ says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the Jews answered him, we are Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? And Christ answered, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. In the first letter of Peter, 2nd chapter, we read, live as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. And from St. Paul, in the 8th chapter of Romans, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath set me free from the law of sin and death. The question of freedom, of human freedom, of liberty, is foundational to the origin and founding of our nation, and in its history of the struggle for human rights and of freedom for all its citizens. I recently learned that my great-great-great-grandfather was a serf in Russia, which is equivalent to a slave. Maybe not as rough a life as that, but he was owned. I assume he was owned, and if he was owned, his family was owned. And the serfs were freed by a declaration of the Tsar in the 1860s. I think that was before the time of the Emancipation Proclamation here. And I grew up as a Russian American with the knowledge that the people I identified with in Soviet Russia were not free, and that they were in fact the number one enemy of this nation. I did my thesis paper for my degree in Russian studies on the persecution of the Russian Orthodox Church in the Soviet Union. And then shortly thereafter visited Russia and saw closed churches with my own eyes firsthand. And we hit the ground running taking photos of these churches, my friends and I. And then we went to Red Square and they said, leave your bags in the bus. But I held on to my camera, but there were rolls of film in my friend's bag. And those rolls, or at least a roll of film, went missing. We would travel in a few days, 600 miles to Riga, Latvia. And when we opened the door of our hotel room, there was the roll of film waiting for us on a table unrolled, unraveled, to let us know who was boss. And we were followed everywhere. And we certainly had no power or intentions to overthrow the Soviet Union. But we were searching for the truth, and the truth was something that was not readily available. Back home after that, we would always in our family keep track of the news of Orthodox dissidents, some in prison, some persecuted, have a prayer list to pray for them. And indeed, they, the Soviets, the communists, were not interested in questions of freedom. And they exported their enslavement to other Eastern European nations. And people hold that against the Russians to this day. But communism was an import into Russia, an alien spirit into Holy Russia. But anyway, there's the question of freedom, of what is true freedom. That's always been an important one. For mankind in general, in my own studies, both formal and informal. And in the seminary, we heard these scriptures that I just had mentioned, and we learned of another level of freedom beyond the political and economic freedom, which is the spiritual freedom. The spiritual freedom referred to by Christ and Saints Peter and Paul. That to be spiritually free is to be free from sin. And that sin, the passions, are binding, are enslaving. That sin robs us of our deepest freedom, the freedom as when Christ says, ye shall be free indeed. that God's grace is liberating. It frees us to be truly, purely our true self, unencumbered by sin and passion, that the image of God in us is tarnished by sin. St. Peter, in his second epistle, second chapter, talks about those who are slaves of corruption and who are overcome and in bondage, in spiritual bondage of being entangled by lust and in the pollutions of the world. And so this finally brings us to our subject of our Holy Mother, St. Mary of Egypt. She is honored on this fifth and final Sunday of Lent, yes, final, along with the harlot who knelt before Jesus and washed his feet with her tears. St. Mary discovered in her life two dramatically different levels of personal freedom. First, the freedom to take as many lovers as she pleased, to do with her body as she chose, to freely engage in activity that moved her at the moment. And second, the freedom to be truly free as a child of God in Christ. Having freely done with her body as she freely pleased, even on the journey of a holy pilgrimage to Jerusalem, she learned that she was not free. She discovered that she was not free to enter the church in Jerusalem and to venerate the Holy Cross that was in the possession of the church at that time, that she was unclean, that she was impure, that her fleshly freedom had cost her her freedom, that her freedom was now capture. Her freedom was captivity. Her freedom to be a child of God was lost, or at least was in jeopardy. And she learned then, as Psalm 5 says, that evil may not dwell with God, that evil may not sojourn with God. And as Isaiah says, sin is separation from God. In the 59th chapter, specifically we read, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." And we must note that St. Mary, having been blocked from entering the church, literally blocked by entering the door by an invisible force, appealed to the icon of the Mother of God, of the Theotokos, which adorned the church porch, just as she adorns our porch. And the Theotokos at that moment became her advocate before God, and St. Mary was then able to enter the church, and then after submitting her life to God's will, fled to the desert and became holy. Quite an amazing story that the church wants us to know. Every society and culture known to mankind, from the simplest to the complex, according to our resident anthropologist, Dr. Krauss, every one of them places and has placed restrictions and boundaries on sexual behavior. It's universal that there are rules and guidelines as to when and with whom, the greater goal being to keep order along family and kinship lines and to avoid chaos. No restrictions on sex equals chaos. In our modern society, with a staggering illegitimacy rate and diseases, is uniquely chaotic and ironically can only sustain itself by being artificially propped up by the government, that it would not be able to go on if not for government support. Such sexual license is not freedom, but is destructive to the definition of the family, and personally destructive to the human soul. St. Mary learned the lessons of her enslaving freedom, which tortured her for years after that when she was trying to be a Christian in the desert, that sins are addictive, that they're like a drug. Everyone here is free, is free to be an alcoholic or to take drugs. It's just not recommended, is it? It's enslaving. It's freedom destroying, including the freedom to seek God. There are many things we are now free to try, but those very things remove us from freedom, take away our freedom. They are enslaving. So is pornography. All such behavior starts out with a feeling of liberation, from the confines of the normal. You get a high, you get a rush, you get a buzz. But later the sweetness turns bitter, and it sets its hook in you, its claw, and it demands a price. It demands payment. It has its cost. You are hooked, you are trapped, you are captured, you are oppressed, you are robbed of your human dignity and made a slave. In looking at communist Russia, the great Alexander Solzhenitsyn, a Gulag concentration camp survivor himself, from which much his literature came from that, experience. And Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, men have forgotten God. They have forgotten God, and that's why all this has happened. That's why Russia was enslaved. Godlessness, someone else said, is always the first step to the concentration camp. And that's whether politically or in the depths of one's soul, personally, one's personal existential enslavement to sin and passions, one's own personal concentration camp, binding one's soul. St. Mary of Egypt demonstrated for us the enslavement of sin and the hard path to liberation and freedom. It is best we learn. It is best we learn from her by just reading her life, not by following her example. It's enough to read it and learn. Because not that many recover, and are saved from a life such as hers. In fact, studies have shown that most people involved in pornography as participants are dead by 35. Because all manner of evil comes with that evil. And when we view it, we support it. We encourage it. Because they count the number of hits on the screen. Finally, the life of St. Mary and of the harlot at Jesus' feet are what is now referred to as a cautionary tale. A cautionary tale, a story with a warning. But it's a story with an extraordinary happy ending. A woman who in the end could walk on water, could literally walk on water, could read the minds of Father Zosimus, the mind of Father Zosimus. She found her liberation, her true liberation and true freedom, not in her flesh, but in her spirit. And in Christ liberating her spirit by grace, he wants to do the same for us. In less violent steps, in a less violent manner, in a less complicated life than that of St. Mary, but in which the same discovery of the meaning of true freedom applies in the soul and life of each and every one of us. Through the prayers of our Holy Mother, St. Mary of Egypt, may our Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen.